her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing.
It's one of those days on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy where I strongly suggest you run to the stream. Run to the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, take Delta Airlines if you can, all right? Take a horse, whatever you need to do to get to the YouTube stream here on ESPN Milwaukee. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. The YouTube stream is at our ESPN Milwaukee page. And here's why. Our buddy Gabe Neitzel is raising money for the Mac Fund. Does it every single year. He'll be playing his 100 holes. Was supposed to be doing it today, but holy moly, it's raining cats and dogs out there. So smart move by Gabe and company to move it to next week. But yesterday he was on KBN, and the guys were coming up with creative ways to raise some money for the Mac Fund. And it sounds like the guys, Ben Brust, not Kyle Wallace, but... Wow, my brain just went dead. Brad Norman. Thank you.
And Alex Stroff. Wow.
And Alex Stroff are going to shave their heads.
Ugh.
Well, already one of them, well, buzz cut. Just like, the traditional Badger buzz cut. So we actually did that yesterday on the air for Brad. Shout out to Tony Cartagena, TC, executive producer of the Thanalysis Show. He went over to Walgreens, but all he could find over there was a beard trimmer. So it took him like 25 minutes to buzz Brad's hair down with a beard trimmer.
Ugh. Is that a real thing? Is what a real thing?
What'd you call it, Gabe? The Badger cut?
Like the Badger buzz cut?
So that's a typical Wisconsin haircut?
It was for that specific team and group of guys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because a lot of people have that hairdo in Wisconsin.
So now that we've given folks adequate time to fire up their computers, pull up the old stream on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, Gabe also did something. Chewy, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Gabe, come on down.
Oh, you look so much better. You look so much better. You look so much better. Thank you.
I knew he would be the one to go the other way. Josh literally, when he first saw me, cackled.
Laughed in his face.
Cackled.
You look so much better. I am the George Steinbrenner of radio. Okay? Joshy, follow suit, please. Beards are hideous.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you think it looks good, pal, because, well, my wife does not.
I think you look great.
He looks like a totally different person.
Looks so much younger.
I haven't even made eye contact with him yet.
No, she has not been able to.
Just staring straight ahead into the glass for Joshy. Wow, your wife hates it, huh?
Well, yeah, so she was standing outside the door because she knew this morning when, I went in, like I told her everything that happened yesterday. Hey, I'm going to have to shave it off. And, I wanted to trim it, then take a shower and then I haven't used a shaving cream and a razor in a decade.
Did you have some?
I didn't. I had to pick some up on the way home yesterday.
You have good cheeks. I didn't realize you had such good cheeks. No, really, Jen. I'm serious.
What cheeks, brother?
So I walk out of the bathroom and my wife is... I mean, she's very quiet. She keeps to herself. She's not a good poker player. Her eyes give away everything. And I could tell immediately that she hated it.
I think you look great.
And then when I went to go give her a kiss goodbye before I left to come to the show, she like makes a look after I kissed her. I go, what? She goes, I don't know if I can kiss you for a while. It feels weird. So this is...
Has she known you as a clean-shaven person?
We were friends. Like, I knew her for a while before we started dating. So I first met her in 2013. I was still living in Madison. Like, I came in to visit some pals in Milwaukee, and she was here when I met her for the first time. So I was clean shaven then. But again, like, I've had a beard in some form or fashion for 10 years.
I've seen you in pictures without a beard, but... In person, as long as I've known you, I'm approaching my 10th year at Good Karma Brands. You've always had a beard.
It feels like I'm watching a movie where somebody has dubbed in a voice.
AI game?
Like, the one actor got fired.
Yeah.
They brought in a new actor, but they wanted to keep the voice consistent, and so here we are. Wow, this is going to take some getting used to. He looks so different. If you have not yet gone over to the YouTube stream, you got to take a look at Gabe's new face.
I guarantee your mother loves it.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out if she's happens to be watching on the YouTube stream.
Jen, are you beard or anti-beard?
I like a beard.
Oh, my wife is, nothing.
Well, hold on. I want to be clear. When Dario starts to get a little scruff going, he's got a few days off of work, I'm like, I find it very attractive.
Ugh. I had that goatee. I had that goatee one time for the Super Bowl.
You guys all had Brett, the goatees.
Yeah, me, Brett, and Frank agreed to do that, and it was the worst month of my life.
Yeah, but a goatee is a very specific facial hair. Like, there's a lot of, I feel like a goatee has a certain, like, je ne sais quoi that goes along with it, right?
Sure.
Like, you're goateeing, as opposed to, like, a beard where there's just a different vibe. Like, look, I don't want to speak for all women. I'll speak for myself. Like, there's a manliness, there's a masculinity, there's a that goes along with a beard. Josh, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I
think big traps.
Two years ago, when we were doing the Mac Fund stuff and I ended up with two tattoos on my arm, my initial offer was to shave my beard, and that was Mussolini roundly dismissed that and told me absolutely not. So I just then ended up with permanent tattoos instead because she was so anti me being clean shaven.
Well, when
question for you?
Yeah.
What's the equivalent for women? A perm?
Haircut. It's got to be a haircut, right?
Like, short hair.
Yeah, maybe like a pixie cut.
No, because
a classic bob.
I guess it depends upon how long it's going. Like, I had no problem doing this because in 2 months it's going to grow back, right? Like, so we would have never, had Kyle been on the show yesterday, like, we would have never even dreamed of asking Kyle to say, "Hey, buzz your head, bud." Like, everybody else is doing it. Like, that's just something completely different. So we wouldn't have asked him to do that because that's going to take longer than 2 months for, you know, his hair that he's been working on for, you know, probably the better part of his life at this point, you know, to grow back. So then, like, I'll deal with the weird looks. I'll deal with Jen not being able to make eye contact
still
with me.
Fuck you. Can't do it. My brain does not compute is what's happening right now. Again, it seems like, because again, I've seen you for so long with the beard.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now my brain is like, I don't know who that is.
No. See, honestly, I was worried because I've seen like videos online of people shaving their beards, and then like their dog doesn't even know who they are.
And
luckily, Bubba still loves me.
Okay,
shout out Bubs.
Yeah, shout out to Bubba.
So you guys think that beards, like women like beards? I mean, Chew, you were saying Angie does not. Do you think more women like a beard or a facial hair on their men?
Again,
Mussolini obviously.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to react. I think it's generational largely. Obviously, everyone has differing opinions. But it seems like people more my age are more fond of the beard, and I don't know if that is what that is or how that came up. But beards are both popular amongst men, and it seems like more women also are a fan of at least some sort of facial hair.
Well, I can tell you this. There's more beards up north than there are. Very few people have beards down here.
Well,
I don't know, because it's so hot.
Because they're all old people.
Yeah, they're ancient.
No, but I'm talking like kids.
Our beards
will
regional.
Have a beard every now and then. He looks better when he shaves it. Dylan never. The other, Angie is Italian.
Yeah, of course. I got to shave my face. I don't know what we're doing here. I got to shave my face. Now I shave my face so that the makeup that I have to wear for television sits on my skin as opposed to the peach fuzz.
Yes.
It's a whole 4K.
Oh.
The more high tech the cameras get, the more you have to be.
I mean, your game day, you guys got the best of the best.
Would you chop your hair off, Jen?
So I got to be honest with you guys. I hate my hair.
Really?
It's just not, unless I have it professionally done, it's just not like television friendly. It's frizzy. It doesn't like to follow orders. Oh, what a shock. My hair doesn't like to follow orders. Falls in line. But like yesterday, I'm doing this feature shoot, right? And I'm sitting across from the young lady who we're interviewing for our feature. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hair. Should I just pull it back into a ponytail? Like, it just doesn't lay nice. So it's very frustrating for me to be on television when I don't have a professional hair artist who can do my hair to have to, like, be on TV. So I've always been like, it would be easier, this is the way I was going with this, to shave my head. Just shave it off. Just shave it. Make it short. Keep it short.
What movie was that from the 90s?
G.I. Jane. Yes.
I thought you were going to say Mad Max.
No. She also had her head shaved. That's true, Chewy.
Yeah. Yeah.
To our lady listeners out there, do you have a preference, beard or no beard? Are you a clean-shaven gal, or do you prefer your men to have a little hair on their face? Let us know, 800-990-3776. Let's dive into the pool of comments, shall we?
I know I'm not a lady, but I want to get it out there. I prefer my Gabe with a beard. I just want that on the record.
You just want that on the record before we go any further. Okay. I appreciate the comments. Yep.
I feel similarly for what it's worth. Kevin says, who's the guy on the right that sounds like Gabe? Dave from Aaron says, there's an imposter on the show this morning. Daniel says, I did offer you guys yesterday to donate another $500 so you didn't have to shave Gabe. Is that true? Daniel offered another $500 so you didn't have to shave?
I might have missed that text.
I was not in control of the talking text line. I was unaware of this offer. I mean, it's too late now, obviously.
No going back.
You know, I guess I could try to paste it back on when I go home, but I was unaware of that. I don't know if Ben just, Gabe said he would do it, so he'd hold me to it, but I have no problem, standing in unison with the other three guys who are getting their heads buzzed.
Ashton Rotman weighing in saying, oh, dear God. Thank you, Ashy. But Marching Coffee says, way better, Chewy's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Are there people out there who think that Gabe looks way better with his beard shaved off? Chris is saying, Joshy, can we get a side-by-side screenshot of Gabe yesterday versus today? I think we should vote on that. Does Gabe look way better without the beard?
I'm going to just put on the poll. How do you prefer your Gabe, beard or no beard? And then we'll see. We'll let the people speak.
This is fantastic. Mr. 36 says, bro, I can't even look at you. I'm sorry.
Either can Jen, so you're not alone there.
Chef Ed weighing in saying, oh my gosh, I want the bearded Gabe back.
Yeah.
Grow it back immediately.
And look, I mean, I'm trying as hard as I can, right?
It would be funny if you just started having different takes now. You shave your beard and you have differing opinions now.
I'm a little worried. Like, how much is my life going to change? In the last 10 years, a lot of good things have happened to me, Josh.
You should also make a lot of wild predictions, and if they're wrong, you can just blame No Beard Gabe.
That's fair. I
was
like
a different
that.
Man then.
Wasn't me. Wasn't a sound mind and body and beard. This says, Gabe, you might have to go get a fake beard until yours grows back.
All right, so we've got two so far who say I look better without it. Chewy and
Marching Coffee.
And there we go. We got two.
We'll put it on the poll. How do you like your Gabe? Beard or no beard? It is a different look. By the end of the show, I promise I'll be able to make eye contact with Gabe again. But it is.
I'm just hoping by the end of the week.
It is different. It is different. Jason Wilde's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll ask him. You think Jason can catch the stream? Jason can take a gander at our new Gabe?
Sure I can send him a little warning here. Say, hey, just take a peek.
Send him a little screenshot. All right. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. Lots of stuff to get to. Jason Wilde's coming up next.
Your team, your state, your teams, your ESPN. It's the brand new ESPN Wisconsin app, a customizable homepage, easier and quicker live listening. Your shows at the touch of a fingertip. The ESPN Wisconsin app is available in Apple and Android app stores. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. Download the ESPN Wisconsin app today.
Ready? Out. Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Reaction to baby-faced Gabe is coming in fast and furious on the Carbless Talkin' text line, 800-990-3776. Liss is more. We will get to that reaction as the show goes on, but do not be alarmed if you happen to swing over to the YouTube stream and see what looks to be an imposter, a substitute sitting in Gabe's chair. It is actually Gabe Neitzel. Jason Wilde has known Gabe for, probably decades at this point. That's how long you've been working for the network.
Yeah.
For the company.
I probably met Jason for the first time in probably like 2009, 2010, something like that.
Were you Babyface Gabe when you met him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jason, what do you think?
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I think it was earlier, Gabe. I think it was like maybe 06.
Okay.
Because I started doing stuff for GKB long before I was a full-time teammate. Look, I'm not here to tell anyone how to do their job. But if you want to get people to tune in to a video stream.
This is the way.
And the tease is, what the hell happened to Gabe's face? I'll be honest. You know, Josh, he sent me a picture, and he was filling me in. I'm like, no, I didn't tell him because I was saving it for on the air. But I'm like, no, you don't have to tell me. I've been watching. Because if you're gonna ask me to watch by saying what the hell happened to Gabe's face, I get alerts from Twitter when you guys go live, and I was like, well, this I got to check out. Now, the good news is that this is very different than Brett Favre asking me what the hell happened to your face in Chicago in 1999. This is a good baby-faced, wholesome Gabe story, as opposed to in 99 when those guys were playing the Bears. And I go down there, and Tom Mulhern, my mentor, was on the trip, and Tom Oates, and I developed a staph infection.
Oh, no.
In my cheek. Mm. And so during the course of the night, to use like ball terms, it started out as like maybe a marble. And then when I woke up, it was like a golf ball. And by the time I got to the stadium, it was like I was eating a tennis ball. I mean, I look like the Elephant Man. And people were saying, Jason, what the hell happened to your face? In fact, Bob Harlan saw me. Because you remember, Chu, you guys used to stay in that Weston, Hancock Tower.
Michigan,
right
up on Michigan. Yeah,
Michigan Avenue, yep. And so Bob Harlan, the kindest man I've ever known, him and Dick Bennett are kind of 1-2 on that category, sees me in the lobby before we're leaving for the stadium. He's like, Jason, are you okay? What? I said, I think I have some sort of infection. He's like, we got to get the docs to take a look at you. So I get to the stadium and they bring me down. It's the only time I think a reporter's ever been in the locker room before a game, mm-hmm. because Dr. Gray and Dr. McKenzie are looking at me, and the pressure is building up in my face. And I was hoping that they could like just drain it. And Doc Gray's like, look, I don't think I can do that. I think you should go to a hospital. I said, well, I can't not cover the game. It was my first year as our primary beat writer. So I cover the game. I'm in excruciating pain the whole game. I go down after the game for press conferences. I've got like an old purple, I remember this clear as day, I had my old purple Columbia jacket. I used to have it's like one of those ski jackets.
And oh, was, yeah.
I tried to have the collar up high enough so no one could see my face. And I asked Favre a question, and the whole room goes silent as he says, Jason, what the hell happened to your face? And everyone turns and looks at me like 100 people are staring at me in the room. And I think I've got an infection. Doc Gray said I need to go to the hospital when I'm done here. And he's like, oh, I thought you got into a fight last night or something. So then the epilogue to that is, so Tom Mulhern drives me to UW Hospital in Madison on our way back after I get done writing, of course. And I spent like 3 days in the hospital, and it took them that long to get the infection out. And I remember when the doctors finally lanced it, they said, that was an impressive amount. And I said, thank you. And they said, no, we don't mean it impressive that way. It means a lot. But they said that if Doc Gray had lanced it in the locker room to relieve the pressure in my face, I probably would have died because it would have gotten into my bloodstream and I wouldn't have gone to the hospital quickly enough. So when you say, what the hell happened to Gabe's face, there is a domino effect that begins with me watching the show and ends with me thinking, oh my God, 26 years ago, someone asked me the same question, and it was Brett Favre. All right, sorry. Didn't mean to take over the show.
Jason, they picked up the option on Wyatt. What are they going to do with Quay?
Such a great segue. Very smooth. Look, they want Quay Walker on their team. I mean, Goody said it multiple times. Now, there was, and I'm forgetting his name now, so I know Josh, he'll help me out here. Baltimore yesterday picked up the fifth-year option. Lindenbaum. And they want to sign him to an extension. Now, I saved this for today since I didn't want to write it in yesterday's story about Wyatt. I wanted to focus on Wyatt. But, look, this usually when the Packers don't pick up a fifth-year option, it's because they have no intention of keeping that guy. And if he somehow plays well during his walk year, then they will. But, like, Eric Stokes, Dayton Jones, Derek Sherrod, like, they didn't pick up those options because they knew that those were misses as picks, right? In Nick Perry's case, they didn't pick it up. And then he had, like, his only great season in a Packers uniform and earned himself a big extension. From what Goody has told us, you know, in Quay's case, they want Quay long-term. They believe he's turned a corner. I agree. I thought he really had turned a corner. If you look at those Miami and San Francisco games last year, I thought he was really starting to become the player they were hoping him to be. I'm not saying he was Brian Urlacher, but he was starting to look like a guy that you want on your team long-term. So that's what Goody has said, but that guaranteed number for 2026 is a bigger number than they want to pay. And so that leaves them with two options. They can give him the fifth-year option and then work on replacing it with an extension, or they can say, okay, we're going to decline it, but it doesn't mean we're declining you. And they've got until, I think, close of business today, like 3 o'clock Central, to make that call.
Jason, with the Jair Alexander saga continuing, obviously, a part of that is him agreeing to some sort of restructured contract. But in order for this to actually work, does there also need to be a reconciliation between him and the coaching staff?
Yeah, probably, right? I mean, look, can you tell how exhausted I am by this story?
Oh, yeah. And it just refuses to go away.
It does. And you know, there's part of me that's thinking, too, like, if I'm one of the other teams that might be interested in him, now's the time to make the trade, right? Because now you can make it a conditional draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, you know, you can tie it to the number of games he plays and everything else. And so, look, I don't know how this is going to end. But, yeah, if there is going to be a reconciliation, and I don't know who Rob talked to that led him to his report earlier this week about everything being on the table, trade, cut, or a reconciliation and him staying. I'm sure it is a very reliable source. I've said this 100 times. Coaches in the building, including the head coach, believe the guy can still play. And the conversation that I had about, he's still a really, really good player, Jason. Yeah, when he plays, insert name of coach here, who I'm not going to say. And that, to me, that's the reality, right? And if they're willing to roll the dice one more time, I think this becomes the old George Bush-ism, right? Which is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you shouldn't fool people. Because I don't think, I don't know how you can go into the season and say, all right, well, he's going to be a 15-game starter for us this year. He's going to play at a Pro Bowl, all-pro level again. God bless them if they do, because I'm not trying to run them out of town. But I just, you know, the frustration with him was so palpable last year. You know, I will say this, the one guy who never publicly showed frustration, now he only talked to us once a week, but was Jeff Hafley. But we agree that Matt LaFleur, not to the degree that he showed with Bakhtiari or with going to London, but we can agree that Matt LaFleur showed frustration with the Jair situation, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Jason, so, they can still shop him, right? I mean, they could. Well, his agent can still shop them.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, they can look. The only problem, and Rob does an awesome job. You guys know that. The only problem with that report, he did nothing wrong, but for him to have had the sourcing that he had previously, saying that, you know, it was basically a matter of when, not if, that they moved on from him and they were only keeping him because they were trying to trade him, to now this. I mean, his reporting is accurate. There's obviously been a shift after the draft in some way toward, well, maybe we can work this out, you know, stay together for the kids one more year. But the problem with it is now the folks that really want Jair to be here or really want the beat writers to be wrong on this, whatever group you're in the fan base, now because reconciliation has been included as a possibility, which it hadn't been before, now those folks, whether it's that for us to be wrong or for Jair to stay or both, are getting excited and thinking, okay, that's now... They see three options, but they only see one, if that makes sense. And now they're just thinking he's going to be on the team this year. And I'm still not sure that I would put that, if you were power ranking the odds of what's going to happen, I still think I would put that three.
My only hesitation
after being released.
My only hesitation, Jason, is this is going to require a certain level of maturity and evolution from the player. Look, we've all been in situations with our spouse where you resolve a situation, you resolve it in air quotes, but you still got lingering feelings about it, right? I'm concerned that there would be lingering feelings from the player that then might creep into the season and have an adverse effect. Is that fair or unfair?
No, it's fair to Dario.
I mean, I said I wasn't mad anymore, but I really still am, so I'm keeping my distance. Again, hypothetically speaking, of course.
I was proud of that. I thought that was pretty good. Yes, you're 1,000% right, Jen. I don't know what reconciliation looks like, right? And I think your air quotes are perfect because I feel like reconciliation comes with some air quotes. Now, again, and I know Rob's told this story. I've told this story before. Early in the season, you know, if it was fake, and I don't think it was, but maybe it was. I've been fooled before. But he really genuinely seemed, Jair, not Rob, to have really changed his outlook. And he used this line on both of us. Maybe the suspension was exactly what I needed. He loved the new strength and conditioning staff. He felt really good about being on the same page with the medical and the athletic training staffs. He really liked where he was at with Jeff Hafley. Like he really hit it off with Jeff Hafley. He loves Xavier McKinney, who, if you remember, the two of them were like sitting together in every meeting. Like the Xavier McKinney effect, in addition to him being a really, really good football player, was it appeared that it was also influencing a guy who had been something of a malcontent to become a guy that was bought in again. But then again, it's hard for me to forget, you know, and look, I don't know what he would have said had I actually gotten to talk to him and the TV cameras not scared him off like a squirrel on my deck. But I would love to know what he would have said, because if you felt good about where you were at with the team and with how you were feeling about the coaching staff and the situation, then you do not proclaim on locker cleanout day that you guys don't want to talk to me. I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. So something changed because of the injury and because of the way it was handled, that took him from, I think that suspension might have been the best thing for me, and I'm really happy, and I've got great relationships with all the people in the building, into, I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year. And how you reconcile that so then he is here, because now it is next year, I'm still not sure about that.
Jason, I saw the players were given numbers yesterday. Now, when I played in the Stone Ages, we weren't given an option. I was given 89, and Mark D'Onofrio, I don't know if you remember, was the second round pick. Mm-hmm. He was given a weird number. He wasn't given an option. I don't know about T-Suck. he might have, because he was a first round pick. But how does it work now?
I didn't know that was his nickname. I'm going to be real
that's
honest.
That's the first time I've heard him say that.
I don't think T-Buck knew that it was his nickname either. Sounds like the kind of nickname you give behind somebody's back. Look, there are certain players that get opportunities to choose their number. There are others that have their number issued to them. I know Brian Bulaga has told the story about him getting his number. 75 was not his first choice either. There are also the negotiations that can go on with a player with an existing number that then the first round pick would really like. Sometimes that works out. I know Sean Clifford gave up 8 last year for Josh Jacobs, which I don't think he made any money off of that. He just did it because it was the right thing to do. But I'm still trying to figure out, and maybe I'm from the Stone Age too, although I never called T-Buck T-Suck. 22 for your wide receiver?
It's a weird number.
I'm not sure I'm on board with that. But otherwise, yeah, I think most guys get them issued. And then if there's there can be an issue. My favorite one was when they issued 26 in recent memory, when they issued 26 to Darnell Savage, and then, and Josh is hipper on music than I, but there's a fella named 21 Savage.
21.
And so he was going to change his number to 21. And then he, didn't, because he would have had to pay for all the jerseys that already had 26 on them.
Oh, that's a good little story.
I mean, it would have been a high-selling jersey. Like, people everywhere would have been buying 21 Savage jerseys. Yes.
Maybe it was short-sighted by him not to make the switch. All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Lots of good stuff there. Weighing in on Gabe's baby face, giving us the latest on Jair Alexander, and, of course, Chewy's favorite topic, nicknames and numbers.
Golden might just be a big, he might just be a big Doug Flutie fan. Who knows, Jason, right?
That certainly could be. Yes, indeed. All right. And Dario catching strays. All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be found on Wilde and Tausch and on a myriad of programs right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We will take a break. Roll on right for this. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know, I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for
the birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
It's so good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jaylian says, Gabe, this was a terrible choice for your marketing image. Meanwhile, Jeff
was it?
Says...
I mean, I feel like it was on brand. I shaved it for the kids.
Yeah, that tracks. Seriously, though, Gabe, you look marvelous. That from Jeff on the YouTube stream.
Steve tweeted at me, thoughts and prayers to the beard, RIP. I had to do a double take.
Right. I think a lot of people are. If you're tuning in and you're seeing Gabe on the YouTube stream, remember, you can always stream our show on ESPN Milwaukee's page on YouTube. People are going, what? What? In fact, Alan says, who's the 16-year-old on your show today? Oh, thank you, Alan. I have been using a new moisturizer. Oh, you mean Gabe. Got it. And then I like this from Jamie. He says, I used to always be clean shaven when I was younger. My wife preferred it. The last 5 years, I've always had facial hair, and she complains. So for her birthday, I shaved it all off, and she hated it. Can't please everyone, it says. Linda says, beards are contour for men. Love a good beard. Throw it back, Gabe.
I mean, look, I'll grow it back as quickly as I can. Like, this was a one-time shave thing, you know? Like, now I just let it grow, and hopefully it gets back to something normal within a couple of weeks.
Sherry says, Gabe needs his beard. I'm just reading
that's,
the comments.
That's as simple as it can be put.
And then David with a throwback, a callback, if you will, saying, facial nakativity looks better on Gabe. Chewy, you remember nakativity?
Oh, yeah. Urban Dictionary. I think it's in it.
I don't think so, since it's a word you invented. I also got a private text from our buddy out in Cleveland, our market manager out there, Tommy Olson, just thinks I look like Eric Name.
You put you and Eric Name next to each other? We couldn't tell you guys apart?
Yeah, that's what he is claiming.
Frankie says, just catching up, loyal listener to the show, and holy balls. Gabe, you do look younger, though, it says.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, I guess. Thank you. Thank you. If you do want to donate, because we had a lot of people donate yesterday, and we raised over $4,500 for the Mac Fund, just text GOLF, G-O-L-F. 800-990-3776. Because again, like Jen mentioned earlier, today was supposed to be the day of the 100 holes. Got pushed back next week so we can still try to raise some money in the fight against childhood cancer.
How much did you guys make or earn the Mac Fund yesterday?
Yesterday we were $4,525, which was then doubled because of the match we have going on. Nice. With a couple thousand dollars left in that match from our friends at Paintings for Pediatrics.
You know what? One thing people haven't commented on. You have a tan line on your face.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know if it's the stream.
Oh, no, I can see it.
No,
you have a tan line
like the
on
cheeks,
your face.
The cheeks are probably a little bit lighter color.
It contours literally down and then right across. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
Not shocking based on how how easy I tan and B, how long I had the beard.
I also can't tell if you have a dimple on your chin. Do you have a little dimple on your chin? Mm-hmm. He's got a dimple on his chin and never knew it. No idea.
We're learning some things about Gabe. I don't know if I ever needed to know.
So many things. Dustin says, who's the pink potato on the show today?
That's mean.
And then I think I mentioned Lori said that she likes it. And then it says, it's an abomination, that from Joel on the YouTube stream. Go ahead and weigh in it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. We are asking you, how do you like your Gabe? This is like a steak. Rare, medium rare. Well done. Beard or no beard? Go ahead and weigh in on that as Gabe has shaved his beard to raise money for the Mac Fund.
And Joshy does have the side-by-side comparison up there with a picture from yesterday and a picture from today.
What does it mean to be a local bank? At Great Midwest Bank, it is small, but the coworkers really understand the local community because they are part of it. Every one of them actually lives here in your neighborhoods. The customers live just down the street and that you get customized products and services that others cannot offer. So naturally, after almost 90 years, giving back is an obligation that Great Midwest Bank is proud to provide. Great Midwest Bank, simply giving, simply local. We're going to talk John Halliburton and Giannis right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, it's a Bible verse. John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
says. I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Okay. So let's talk about the latest in the John Halliburton-Giannis confrontation. Kind of thought it was put to bed. Apparently not. So everybody saw what happened after the game. Woke up this morning hoping that maybe it had all been a dream, that the Bucks did actually not lose a game where they were leading with, what was it, a minute to play? How many seconds were left in the game when they were up by 7?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, 40 seconds, 7 points.
Thanks.
Yeah. It was 35.
35 seconds.
I was generous.
Points. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just. It was worse. And I don't know if you guys.
Why didn't
want
to do it?
Okay, I don't know if you guys talked at all yesterday about just like the collapse, you know, sort of the pee down the leg sort of thing, the pressure and the moment and all of that stuff. How it maybe got too big for some of the guys who were out there. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how John Halliburton, Tyrese Halliburton's dad, apparently did an interview with a local news station giving his side of the story. I have not yet heard this, so this will be fresh reaction for the folks. Joshy, let's hear from John Halliburton.
When I turned, it might have seemed like I was looking at him, but I really wasn't. I was looking through him. That's right. How I was in the moment. I know it looked like we were looking, like I was staring him down, you know, but it wasn't like that. It was in the moment as if I was looking right through him. And yes, I had the banner in my hand going, and I was yelling, yay, yay, yay. Giannis never said anything to me. I never said anything to Giannis. There was no back and forth.
But that changed when Giannis went face-to-face with John near his baseline seats a few moments later.
He grabbed my hands. He put his forehead on my forehead. And he said, don't disrespect me. Don't effing disrespect me. Okay? And I said to him, I was not trying to disrespect you, which I wasn't. I'm telling you, I did not do that on purpose. I really did not. And then I said to him, I love you. He said back to me, I love you. We patted chest. He gave us a thumbs up, and he walked away.
He's a clown. I didn't believe a word he said. You know, your 15 minutes are over. Exit stage left.
I mean, so in order to believe that story, I have to believe that, A, you wandered out onto the floor, which, again, you're a fan wandering out on the floor, which is beyond my comprehension of how this is allowed to happen in the first place. So you wandered out onto the floor, which you're not supposed to do, and then you just stopped feet away right in front of the largest human that happens to be on that floor.
Looking through him.
And you're looking, and you're just looking through him. You're not looking off to the sideline. You're not looking at your son, who's on the opposite sideline, jumping up on the scorer's table in pure exuberation after his team won. You're not looking at your son wanting to celebrate with him. You're looking back toward your seat, and Giannis just happened to be there. That's what I have to believe in order for me to believe that story. And I just can't do that. I can't stretch the truth that far to believe that to be an actual story.
I hate it. I hate it because it felt like this had been put to bed. Giannis said his thing at the table. Halliburton said his thing at the table. And we all knew what had occurred, which was that John Halliburton made a bad decision. And he went out there and he taunted the losing team, the player on the losing team, which happened to be Giannis, one of the best players in the league. That's what he did. And I don't love when people can't just fess up to and say what they did. There is so much more glory and respect in being able to say, this is, yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, I took advantage of the moment. They had just lost. There had been this thing that said that my kid was the most overrated player in the league less than a week ago. Yeah, it was all bubbling up. And in that moment, I made a poor judgment call. I made a bad decision. I have so much more respect for that reaction, that behavior, than this, which is to excuse away, to nuance away, to try to explain why everyone else misinterpreted what you were trying to do. You stood in front of him. You waved the towel. You used obscenities. I use obscenities. I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but like you were saying it to him. To now try to manipulate what we all saw into, oh, it wasn't to him. I was talking to the universe.
How are
the
you looking?
The universe.
Like, if you wanted to celebrate, wouldn't you want to be closer to your fans that you're supposedly celebrating with? I mean, how do you look through Giannis? That's what I want to know as well. That is a hulk of a human being right in front of you. That's, I mean, how are you just looking? Oh, I was looking through him. How? You Superman?
Is the league going to do anything?
I have no idea.
Pretend like it never happened.
No idea.
It's just a bad precedent.
The thing is, it's not even, it's just remotely not even believable.
Yep.
You had to run onto the court where you don't belong, as Gabe said, stand in front of him, turn, and then hold up a banner to his face. Like, we heard the stories about him liking attention, him making youth basketball games as a referee about himself. And this behavior and his willingness to get in front of a mic after his son told him how disappointed he was in his behavior, he then goes on the news on TMJ4 and says, that's not what happened.
I actually didn't do the thing that y'all
you
think
watched
I did,
me do.
The thing that my son has apologized for me doing, the thing that Giannis reacted to, the thing that Pat Connaughton reacted to. Why is Pat Connaughton walking his butt out there to stand between John and Giannis unless Pat interprets John's actions as taunting Giannis?
And McConnell. Like, McConnell came flying in, and member of the Pacers, instead of celebrating with his team, he's trying to defuse the situation.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
So also, by the way, in order for his story to be accurate, he's basically calling Giannis a liar.
Yeah.
I mean, they're standing less than 5 feet apart. Less than 5 feet apart. don't come at people with this garbage. Like, I thought that this was resolved. I thought that everybody had said their piece and we were moving on. In fact, Giannis, in the press conference, said that he said, I love you, and he said, I love you back. And you can see Giannis saying that. You can literally
see.
Yeah, you can literally see. Put to bed. But now you come on and you're basically trying to gaslight everyone who watched it happen live, everyone who has seen the video, everyone who experienced it, and go, now, what you all think happened didn't actually happen. I was projecting into the universe, not to that individual. And it's just...
It's a classic pee on your leg and tell you it's raining.
The problem is I have eyes, and there's multiple video cameras of this whole... multiple video angles of this entire interaction.
Yeah.
And then when Pat Connaughton steps in between the two gentlemen, John shifts his body to the left to move around Pat Connaughton. He doesn't move from his spot, but he shifts his body so he can maintain perceived eye contact with Giannis, guys. Watch the video. Pat steps in between them, and John's body goes to the left so that he can continue, quote-unquote, not looking at, not directing it to Giannis. It's just, come on, man. Just do the thing where you say, I messed up. Shouldn't have handled it that way. I let the emotions of the moment and everything get the best of me. I'll be better next time. People would be a lot better off. We'd all be a lot better off if people would just say when they did something wrong and move on. Not try to always act like, no, you got it wrong. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Much more in the second hour of the show. Stick around.